Just get comfortable, because Jesus had the disciples wait 10 days for the gift of the Spirit. We've cracked a lot into this morning's meeting. I hope you've found it helpful to think about, but I just want to keep it for 10, 15 minutes. So just get comfortable. We're going to look at some of the scriptures. Acts chapter 1, actually, we're going to start from. If you want to take your seats, that's okay. I just want you to have a chance to stretch your legs if you think you've been sitting for a long time. Acts chapter 1, it's an important prelude to what happens today. Jesus appeared to the disciples for 40 days after the resurrection. 40 days. And then as he's preparing to ascend back to his Father, he gave them this command. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, do not leave Jerusalem. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Well, those few days turned into 10 days. I know we've got a lot going on in our meeting this morning, but we're not going to make you wait for 10 days. We might if the Spirit so directs. But they waited 10 days. How are you at waiting? Didn't we touch on this at the beginning? Here's a picture of waiting. Now, this is the Beast of Mayfield in all her glory. And it looks like she's been sat there waiting for ages. Let me tell you, this was a brief snapshot image, as she actually doesn't sit still at all. But Maisie Dog has had to learn to wait. She was waiting for us to drop food off the kitchen counter. When we go for our walks, she knows when we're going for a walk. But she also knows that I make her wait. Because she knows I do not step outside of the house with my dog without a hat on. And so until I've got my hat, we don't go out. And she'll wait. For her, in dog years, that will seem like 25 minutes. It actually takes about 20 seconds. You can't go outside without a hat on. If the sun doesn't get you, a bonkers bird with a vendetta will. Or, you know, there might even be a stray hairdresser hiding behind a tree, wants to leap out and talk to me. No, that I didn't write that in this morning. They had to wait for 10 days. 10 days. Can you imagine that? What did they do for 10 days? We read about it at the end of chapter 1. They gathered together. They prayed fervently and intentionally. They had to do some business together. They had to choose a new apostle. You can read about how they came to choose Matthias at the end of chapter 1, and as they replaced Judas's empty place among them. Interestingly, just an aside, Acts chapter 1 is the last time that they make decisions by casting lots. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit's given. Then they make some big decisions, but they do that through prayer and revelation. Now, as we meet here in London, well, they're probably asleep now, but the High Council have gathered. All the leaders of the Salvation Army around the world are gathered in London to elect a new international leader of the Salvation Army, a new general. There's 110 people from around the Salvation Army world gathered. And they're going to choose a new leader over the next week or so, and they don't do that by casting lots. They do it through a process of discernment. It's what the Holy Spirit does. What the Holy Spirit gives them is that insight and that wisdom. And over the course of days, it's done by election, but it's a discernment process, election. It's not a popularity contest. That's what the Holy Spirit does within the life of the church. We'll be praying for our international leaders as they do that. Jerusalem, on the day of Pentecost, beginning of chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. All together. Day of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover. That's how we work it out. So Jesus crucified and rose again around Passover time. 40 days later, ascended to heaven. 10 days later, Pentecost. They were there for a harvest festival. That's why people were there. That's what Pentecost was, is still, a harvest festival. Not just praising God and thanking God for the physical provision that they had, but thanking him for the gift of law and land and freedom that he brought them as a nation. So Jerusalem was full of worshippers that day from all over the world. And they heard the wonders of God proclaimed in their own language. They heard the wonders of God proclaimed in terms they could understand. Now, we don't have lots of people from all those nations in Newcastle. A few come to English classes. But through pancake ministry, young people hear the gospel in terms they can understand. See, that's what the Spirit does. Through musical ministry, and we hope to do more of that, people can connect with the truths of the gospel in terms that they can understand. That was the miracle. It wasn't the speaking of languages. The miracle was that people were able to hear the wonders of God proclaimed in terms they could understand. That's why they were amazed. It's a great reversal of the confusion that God brought upon the world when they built a Tower of Babel. You read that story in Genesis chapter 1. I haven't got time to talk about that now. But the people, in their arrogance, gathered together to try and prove that they were better than God. That's the essence of that story. And here at Pentecost, they gathered together with a single intention of worshipping and glorifying God. They hadn't gathered with a sense of being better or trying to prove their own arrogance. And in their humility, God united them again. You see how that's reversed? And so the people from all over could hear and tell the wonders of God being proclaimed in terms they could understand. They were all together. The togetherness was important. The Holy Spirit who enables unity in the church. But in order to have that moment, those believers had to be obedient and had to wait 10 days. And we struggle to wait a few minutes. We'll be wondering in a minute, you know, what time is morning tea? Some of you have been wondering for 10 minutes what time is morning tea. We live in an instant world, don't we? I want to know what's happening in the FA Cup final. I can wake up in the early hours of the morning and look at my phone. I haven't got to put a television on. And then I can put the phone away in disgust and go back to sleep. Our instant world, we're really bad at waiting. I have a theory. Why does the church grow so much in underdeveloped countries? We are constantly distracted. We cannot wait. We are socially disconnected in ways that we have never been before at a time when we've been so blessed with communications technology that should draw us together. For every 100 pancakes our friends serve at a school, there's 100 mobile phones, constant distraction. These believers gathered with intent. They gathered with a single desire to wait upon Christ, to know, to believe that he would keep his promise to them. And they waited, 10 days. Fervent prayer, intentional worship. They were gathered together. And because they were gathered together, they placed themselves where God would maximize his blessing upon them. So the Holy Spirit was given. The Holy Spirit would have been given anyway. But what would have happened if they drifted off, if they'd gone in different directions? They might still have been proclaiming the wonders of God wherever they were, but something about their witness would have been devoid of power. All of them, we read Acts 2, were filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 2. A sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And the people who asked the questions, verse 12, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" All of them, the Holy Spirit was given to all of them. They were all gathered together in one place, and the Holy Spirit was given to all of them. If you head out of here this morning With whatever emotion you take with you, well, that was vaguely interesting. We want to see more of Colin in a Batman suit, or less of Colin in a Batman suit, or whatever emotion you go out with. But if you go out without a sense of the touch and the presence of God this morning, it's because we haven't positioned ourselves to encounter it, because it's being given anyway. We sing in that one of the founder's songs, "We Want Another Pentecost." We know what he means. It's about a prayer for revival in the church, about a prayer that God will do something powerful again. But we don't actually need another Pentecost. What we need to do is to stand under the reign of the blessing of the one we've already been given. We need to be prepared and expectant that Christ is keeping his promises and his Spirit is being poured out, lavished on all people. That's what today's about. It's not about the miracle of speaking in different languages. It's about the fact that ordinary people were empowered by the Spirit to witness, and because of that, people ask questions. And because people ask questions, they encountered the truths of the gospel. And because of that, in one day, 3,000 people came under the lordship of Christ. We long for those days. But the Spirit's been given. We don't get that again. The question is not, will God give us another Pentecost? The question is, will you and I stand under the reign of that blessing? All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit because they positioned themselves. They gathered together. They were intentional in their prayer. They were intentional in their worship. They placed themselves where God would make the most of them. Did anyone catch Bishop Michael Curry preaching yesterday at the royal wedding? There's a guy who took an opportunity to preach the gospel to 1.2 billion people. And whatever you think about that, that's what people will talk about at coffee machines and water coolers this week. He quoted Dr. Martin Luther King. He talked about fire, and you can read his script for himself. But I love this, what he said, because it's about Pentecost, fire. Tongues of fire appeared. And Michael Curry said this yesterday, quoting a philosopher called de Chardin. He said, "If human beings ever harness the energies of love, then for the second time in the history of the world, we will have discovered fire. Love is the very fire and energy of real life." Dr. King was right. We must discover the power of love, the redemptive power of love. And when we discover that, we will be able to make of this old world a new world, for love is the only way. It wasn't just about power. It was about the power of love being poured out and the power of love being witnessed to. And people heard the wonders of God being proclaimed in their own language. Power, love, outreach, question, challenge, explanation. Verse 14. All this is happening. There's wonders, there's signs, there's questions, there's confusion, amazement, perplexity. And verse 14, "Then Peter stood up with the 11. And you can read his sermon in the rest of chapter 2. I think this is an important moment. Peter seizes this moment. The moment that then Peter stood up. You see, God can do amazing things. He can do amazing things. He doesn't need people like you, me, or Peter to do amazing things. But there comes a moment, in Peter's faith story when it's time to stand up. When it's time to stand up and explain what's going on. When it's time to stand up and talk about what Jesus has done and who Jesus is and what Jesus still wants to do. There comes a time in this confusing moment when Peter stands up. And I read that, and I've read that hundreds of times like you have done, and I was challenged in my own being, in my own heart. I thought, when do I stand up and point people that this is what God is doing in our day? No, it's not just about leading. It's not about standing on a platform. For all of us, there will be those challenges, those moments when you and I can stand up this week and say, actually, this is what this is about. It's not just about serving pancakes. Yeah, we do it because we can, but we do it because we're sent. We do it because we believe that fullness of life is found in Christ. There will be that moment where we can stand up. We can teach music to kids. Not just because that's a good thing to do, and anyone will tell you it's a good thing to do. We can do it because we believe that fullness of life is found with Christ. Peter stands up. They could have just said, yeah, it's an amazing thing that's happening here. Enjoy the spectacle, then all go home. But no, Peter stands up and says, no, this is what's happening. God is pouring out his spirit on all people. Young people will prophesy. Old men will see dreams. Everyone will be included in this. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's the punchline to go home with. Not the fact that people spoke in amazing languages, as amazing as that was. But this, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But it only was heard because Peter stood up. Well, our time is really gone this morning. A lot's been packed into this morning, deliberately so. And I know I've kept you a bit longer, but I'm running out of times to do this. You don't have to invite me back. It'll be really expensive. But get this. What God did that day in pouring out his spirit, it wasn't so much the signs and the wonders, it was about the inclusion of everybody. So that ordinary unschooled people like Peter, like you and like me, could take their spirit moment when it was given to them and stand up and declare the wonders of God to people who were asking. And if you don't believe that people are asking, two things. Tune into the conversations people have about yesterday's sermon at the royal wedding. But also talk to our friends about the conversations they have every week in our schools. Talk to them about head teachers who've been resistant to the gospel, who are now desperate for us to go into their school. But more than that, God will give you your moment to stand up this week. And if you are prepared to join me and stand under the rain of the blessing and the outpouring of Pentecost that's already being given, then he will empower you, give you the words, and he'll give you the nudge to say, now it's time to stand up. And now it's the time to speak. We stand on the threshold of amazing opportunities in this call. I believe that. I've had my moment of wondering, was it all worth it? We'll talk about that another time. I believe that the best days are still to come, but they will only come when we are prepared to stand under the rain of God's blessing and outpouring, and then take the challenge when he says, now stand up and proclaim the wonders of God to people who are asking questions. Stand up.